We're going to sing English Tuvaluan songs. So we'll sing it in English first, and then we'll sing it in Tuvaluan. So building up the temple. You ready?
Building up the temple of the Lord. Come, Father, help me. Come, Mother, help me. Building up the temple of the Lord. Faka tu te fale, faka tu te fale, faka tu te fale o te aligi. Tamana vau koe, matua vau koe, faka tu te fale o te aligi.
This is the day. English first?
Can we do either?
We'll do Tuvaluan first. Okay.
Tene te aso, tene te aso, ne fine te atua, ne fine te atua. Tato katoa, tato katoa, ke fia fia kie, ke fia fia kie. O tene te aso, ne fine te atua, tato katoa, ke fia fia kie. Tene te aso, tene te aso, ne fine te atua.
Now we're going to sing it in English, but we want you to echo. Okay? We'll sing it in English, you echo. This is a Bible verse. You should know it. You ready?
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
And we need your help with this one too. We'll sing it in English first, but sing it with us. I'm pretty sure many of you will know it. And then we'll sing it in Tuvaluan for you.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He took my sins. He took my sins. He's so good to me.
Now I am free.
He's so good to me.
And now we'll sing it in
Tua elele, te atua elele, te atua elele, elele mai kia. Ne avinei a kongasala, elele mai. Ne aku saloto, ne aku saloto, ne aku saloto, elele makiao.
All three.
Te atua elele, alleluia, avinei akonga sala. Ne aku saloto, elele makiao.
And the next one is one that before we left to go to Tuvalu, we had a Tuvaluan family here in the United States living and serving God, and they translated this song for us into Tuvaluan, and we have since taught the Tuvaluan people, the children mostly, this song, and we sing it almost every Sunday, so you will recognize it. Wait, have to breathe first. Second one with everybody. Okay.
Yesu alofa mai loaneao, te tusi tapu ko fakasi mai, tamalik night, yeah, yeah. La toko vai vai aku Yesu ko mafi. Yesu e alofa mai. Yesu e alofa mai. Yesu e alofa mai. Fitusi tapu ko fakasi mai.
They do that too. Will you please sing it with us?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen.
The Bible tells me so.
Hallelujah. That's the version the kids have made for us in Tuvalu. Amen. Okay, go ahead.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me put this microphone on and we'll get going. Thank you for your time this morning. As far as the Bible is concerned, this is the most important part of your week.
That's right. Amen.
As long as it's the preaching of God's word, it is the most important part of your week. Try to go through your week and have a good week without God, and we'll see if that works for you.
Let me know, because I don't want to do that. Anyway, I wanted to take I've never done anything twice. I don't like preaching the same thing twice if I can avoid it. But I wanted to introduce you to some of my friends because I thought by doing that, we can have a gist of Scripture, spend some time in the Word of God, but we can also, you can have a face with the name. And to me, that's very important. And the principle that we're thinking about this morning, if you will, is that people don't know who Jesus is. Every religion since the fall of man has named the name of Jesus or created a Messiah, but it's different than the one the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
So it's very important because there are going to be some people that name the name of Jesus, say, in the name of Jesus this and in the name of Jesus that. And Jesus himself said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. And then, have we not cast out devils? And we've done all these things in your name. And yet Jesus is going to say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
Yeah.
And the reason people don't know, the reason you don't know people in Tuvalu is because you're not there. But you are there because you're helping us to be there. Without that, we just, I don't know. This is how God's plan works, and it works. So I don't have to spend time thinking about that. We've been really blessed with having food and having a roof over our heads, and we've never, we're sinners, so we're always in want, but we've never been in need. We've had everything we've needed, and so we thank you for that. But you don't know my friends, and there are people that don't know who Jesus is, and I thought if we can follow this concept of, as I describe my friends, and you can see a face that goes with a name and a story, and maybe there'd be something that reaches your heart, understand also that there are a lot of people around everywhere in the world that they might know the name Jesus, but they don't know who he really is. And we don't have to wear ball caps and t-shirts that say, Jesus is my best friend, and go around like some sort of moving, blinking billboard. But people ought to know who Jesus is, and we ought to introduce who Jesus is, and we ought to describe who Jesus is. And maybe that concept will kind of soak in a little bit. So to get started, look in Luke chapter 15. I'm really glad these pictures are so clear. People live so far away, I thought they'd be a little blurry, but that came in just fine. We have been, our technology, we call it tech. So whether cell phones, tablets, cameras, any of our tech goes south really fast in Tuvalu because the salt air. You know, when it rains here, the moisture gathers around dust particles in the air and it brings all that back down to earth. in the South Pacific, moisture gathers around salt particles in the air and brings that back down to Earth. And there's literally salt in the air. So you can lick your lips and taste salt. When you just, especially on a windy day, if you stand by the lagoon for a little while, you lick your lips and you'll taste that salt. So our technology goes bad, and all of the pictures are not clear. I'll try to bring them into focus with words. So Luke chapter 15, this concept today in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Well, first of all, squint real hard. What time do we go to? All right. The first thing that I want you to notice here is who's rejoicing. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So who's rejoicing? It's got to be God. So God rejoices. God gets glory. God has happiness. God is exalted. God has a good day when one sinner repenteth. And that makes it all worth it to him. And I can totally understand how God would feel that way. When I have a bad day, I just have to remember when so-and-so got saved. Or when somebody I thought would never accept Christ went into the bush on their own and asked Jesus to save them. And there's no doubt, they don't have to tell me. They just walk in and you know something is different. There's a resolve inside. And they're no longer living by social pressures from the outside in. They're starting to live a new life from the inside out. And they're different. And every single time we'll talk and we'll be like, oh, you know what? I think so-and-so is saved. Now, here, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And another verse that we're going to look at today, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And then I can introduce you to some of my friends. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. While you're turning there, I'll tell you that tonight, if it's all right, we'd like to set out some artifacts, some things that we have, seashells and handicrafts and things that we picked up along the way, mostly right before we came here. Because they're ours, they're given to us, so we just go on the plane covered with shells and going away gifts, put them in a bag, and we're set. So anyway, we'll set that out tonight. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I like singing this one personally, but thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just have total control and liberty in our hearts today. Help us to understand that changing the world is something that has to happen inside before it can happen outside. I thank you for this body of believers and their help and their faithfulness and their sacrifice that we might not be in want. And I thank you, Lord, that your word works and help us to have more faith in it because of what you do and what we see and how you work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's just take a look here if I don't mess this up. This right here, this is Fenua. She's a good friend of ours. Before we ever came to Tuvalu, before we ever knew there was a Tuvalu, she had gone to Fiji, which is 800 miles to the south. That's a big trip. You can't drive that. You have to fly or go 3 days on a boat or a ship in a country with limited means. And Tuvalu is third world, politically correct. It's a developing country. On the United Nations, it's called a least developed country. They made the lowest of the low bar. They limboed lower than all the other poor countries. And Fenua accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior through Pastor Corey's ministry. So she was in Fiji for school way back in 2000 and... Nine or ten. So she... No, it was 2000... Was it 2006? Okay, 2006 was the number in my mind. So she accepted Christ as her Savior in 2006, long time ago. And she began to grow in the Lord, but her husband was not saved, like a lot of people. You know, you get saved all alone. And then you have to kind of look around and see what's going to happen next. So she had asked Jesus Christ as Savior. She was scripturally baptized at Nasori Baptist Church in Fiji. And then when her school was finished, she had to go back home. So this is Fanua, if you can remember that. The word Fanua means island. That's Toma. Toma is a seafarer. One of the common occupations in Tuvalu is to get a job on these big shipping vessels as labor. They pay them very, very little as islanders, and they travel the world. And they save up their money, come back home, and try to build a house or build a business if they don't blow it all overseas. So Toma was coming back to Fiji to visit Fanua, who had just gotten saved, and he had in his mind, this is my shore leave. I'm going to take my paycheck, man. I'm going to check out a movie tonight. I'm going to be with my wife tonight. I'm going to drink with my buddies tonight. He had a plan. He's told me many times. And by the way, I won't share anything about them that they haven't shared publicly or that I know they haven't told other people. So I don't want to be a talebearer. But to give you as much as I can, this is Toma. So Toma, is that about right? He's tall and he's big, like big. But he had made and determined in his mind he's going to go have one of these weekends. And Fanua, she said, well, we're going to go to church. I want to go to church tomorrow. She talked him into, okay, fine. And they went to church. And he's thinking, as soon as church is over, I'm going to meet my buddies. I'm going to get drunk. We're going to watch a movie. And then I'll catch the rugby game and all the. I mean, he had his plan for his shore leave. When he went to church, he got saved.
Amen.
What a difference. So now that's Pastor Corey, and I believe you guys supported him by prayer, if nothing else. And that was in Fiji, way back in 2006. So they were growing in the Lord. They had started to mature in the Lord. But then when their school was finished, they went back to Tuvalu. In Tuvalu, there at the time, there was zero gospel witness. And I don't say that like, you know, some people say, well, we're the only church around here, and there's another Baptist church preaching the gospel right up the street, but they don't get along. There's one like that in Wisconsin. They're literally building and building. And one is where the German Baptists, not German Baptists, but Baptists that are German heritage go. And another one is where the other ones go. And they're both preaching the gospel, both King James only, both doctrinally accurate, and they're just like throwing rocks at each other. So anyway, in Tuvalu, it's not like that. There was just literally no gospel witness whatsoever at all until they came back. And they came back in 2008, I want to say, something like that, and started to pray that God would give them a church, because they tried to go back to their local church, tried to go to the state-run church, and they just couldn't do it. It wasn't right. It was wrong with God, and it didn't sit well with them. So they came back to Tuvalu, and they lived those years there praying and hoping that God would send someone to Tuvalu. And you probably have heard a little bit of our story, but at the time in 2010, God started to bring under the radar this place called Tuvalu, and I tried to escape it. And somebody asked me in Colorado, they said, how do you know if God's calling you to be a missionary? And I thought about it and came back later that night, because I just never thought about it before. So I had to think about me, and you're probably more righteous than me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I came back and I said, here's how I knew God was calling me to be a missionary. Just try to shake him off. And I couldn't. And we ended up going to Tuvalu. And right at the same time that I had basically come to a full grip and a full knowledge, this is what God wants for us, Pastor Corey in Fiji was writing letters back to the States saying, pray that God would send a missionary to Tuvalu. They have no gospel witness. And he was sending that on behalf of Toma and Fanua. And it was just how God works. I had argued God sends somebody from Australia, New Zealand, anywhere but me. In fact, I had even thought, what about Fiji? You know, I know Pastor Corey's there. It's got to be somebody he can send up north. At the end of all of it, we ended up going to Tuvalu. We went there in 2013, and Toma and Fanua have told me several times they were just about to let go of ever hoping there would be a gospel-preaching church. They had already talked to their friends. They had grown as much as they could, felt that they could, from reading every scrap of anything they could get their hands on, like the Daily Bread brochure or tracts or anything. And they were beginning to be confused because the pressure of everything wrong without the resistance of everything right. It's just which side's going to win is a no-brainer. So when we came, they told us many times we had almost given up. Fanua told me many times, you didn't come soon enough. I'm like, well, you're sorry. We came as fast as we could. This is their nephew, Kalpua. So Toma and Fanua are saved. They're living in Tuvalu. We come. We hit the ground with a couple of people there that are already born again, already scripturally baptized, and dying to have a church. So we did not have the hardships you hear about some people. We literally had somebody to meet us at the airport and introduce us into their country. So, you know, God knows what limits you can handle, and He took our willing heart and didn't put us beyond what we were able to do. I don't know how else to put it. One person plows the ground, another one puts the seed in. God gives the increase. So now we're there. We're trying to learn how to live. We got a dog because everybody has a feral dog appointed to you. And their nephew one night, I didn't know it was their nephew. I look outside and these kids are trying to put a noose around the dog to kill it. They'll just take it and drag it around till it's dead. It's great fun. Ha, ha, ha. I know that'll violate American mentality. I don't like it either, but it happens all the time. Some sort of thing like that. So I see these kids out there, and you know, if you saw my passport picture, I was fat when I got there. And I look out, and I'm like, oh man, no. So I go running out after they take off running, scrappy little island boys booking full speed. And he's an athlete. This is flattering. He's bigger in this picture than he was at the time. But they took off running. I ran them down for almost half a mile. And I come just booking barefoot, going through the island, chasing them. I have no idea where I'm going. We're going through people's houses and around their stuff and all down the street. We end up over by the lagoon. And I stop them. And once I got to them, there's like, freeze up, down, ready for the big punishment. And I said, first of all, you should be ashamed that a 40-year-old man just outran you. Second of all, and I started just going through what they were doing, but not what you did was wrong. It was you need to know God. I don't even know how the words went, but ultimately what ended up happening was Kalpua ended up coming to church, and Kalpua ended up hearing the gospel, and Kalpua was sitting there. I mean, at first, you know, we started off on opposite teams, and after all was said and done, Kalpua one day asked Jesus Christ to save him. Got baptized, and he's one of the best teen soul winners I know. He's just matter of fact about it. He's not like, oh, this is a big deal. Okay, work it up, work it up, work it up. Okay. He's just, hey, when are you going to get saved? What's your problem? I mean, he's just in whatever language with the people around him, he's very good at leading people to the Lord. So Kalpua got saved. I think it might have been Kalpua that ultimately tipped Harry over the scale. This one's really hard to see, but like I said, we're so far away. There's me standing in my one good shirt, and that's our church members. I'll skip through that. That's not the clearest picture. Ah, Tama Lisi. Tama Lisi is a neat lady. She's married to a seafarer. He was gone for 20 years. She had to battle to keep her kids. People trying to take them to other countries happens a lot in Tuvalu. Auntie or an uncle or a cousin or someone will come and just say, I want that kid, and they'll take him, and that's that. And the woman has nothing to say about it, because if the people taking get permission from the father, then the wife has no say. So the father will often do that to gain favor with some other family. The other family wants to take the child in order to hold a control over Tama Lisi. So it's not that they love this child or really just desperate for a child because they couldn't have one of their own. No, they'll have like four or five of their own, but they'll take this one. And then whenever Tama doesn't do what they want, they'll beat that child to get her attention. So it's just a whipping post. It's not always that way, but that's common. So Tama, over that 20 years, she had to fight to keep her kids, fight to try to have a home, fight to live a life without a husband that's home. Her husband's lost in spending all the money overseas and coming home with very little to nothing. So she knows what kind of life he's living. And after all is said and done, she ends up going back in, before we were there, 2000 and, I don't know, shortly after Fanua, she ends up going to Nasori Baptist Church also and asking Jesus Christ to save her. So now she's saved because she trusted in the Christ that she met in the Bible and not in the religion that she was always surrounded with, and she comes back up to Tuvalu, no church. So she kind of came in around not too much before we came in, and Toma and Fanua are back in the country, and God's starting to build this thing from different corners of the world, people that had no idea that each other existed or were, I mean, there's just no human coordination that can do this. Tama was the very first Baptist baptism in the entire nation's history. So, you get to know somebody. We come into church, we had scheduled our churches, we only had 2 o'clock services on Sunday when we first got there. And they come into church bringing all these sweets and different things to sit around and snack afterward. And we met in this tiny little room. We're packed in there, sweltering hot. And they kept coming and kept bringing more people. And we kept getting into that tiny little room. Somehow we kept fitting. Not sure how. Like oil in the empty vessels with Elijah. But Tama, I was fully aware of the fact that this is going to be the first baptism I've ever performed. And the first Baptist baptism ever in the history of a country. I mean, to me, that was really big. And I tried to talk it down, like, okay, maybe it's my pride, just try to make it seem bigger. And I'm like, no, this is a really big deal. We laid out our timeline on the whole floor. I'm like, look at this, from the time of Adam and going all the way through time, this is it. So she got baptized. She is an official member of our church at that point. And that's Tama Lisi. She is really giving. And we all have our ups and down qualities, but she's a giver. She's always watching. She travels the world as the personal secretary of the prime minister. She's always going out and coming home with clothes or coming home with a chocolate bar or coming home with something for the kids. She's always giving. She's currently trying to finish her education in New Zealand. And she still wire transfers $60 to our bank account every single week. She said, Pastor, I want to keep tithing while we're gone. I said, well, you're going to be gone for 2 years. You should join in fellowship with the local body of believers. She said, I can't. Yeah, she said, they just waited too long for a good church. There's Kirsten trying to stay out of the sun, going on a picnic. You know who they are. That's Kirsten with no knowledge of Tuvalu. That's Kirsten's teacher for Tuvaluan language. And now that's Kirsten knowing Tuvaluan. This is pretty fun. This is Renietta. She has a good testimony of salvation, but she can't leave the house. So she doesn't ever come to church or anything like that. But Kirsten would go over there as a scheduled thing, and she took upon herself to teach Kirsten Tuvaluan and Kiribati, which is a different language altogether, and to just have a good time of fellowship. That's Harry's grandmother. Yes. And Tama Lisi is Harry's aunt. Starting to get some closer family relations. So Renietta sits in her. She's got a room that's about this big, cinder block walls. Actually, she stays in a little room all day long. She's in charge of all the family stuff. If somebody says, here, keep my keys, I'll be back for them later. Here's my half a pack of cigarettes, don't let my uncle take them. And she keeps all that stuff in inventory in her room and has a little window, and she sits there and deals out everybody's personal belongings. But she's saved. And you can't take that from her, no matter how we might think anything else. She's a really neat person. And here So now we've got this core group of people that's starting to grow. Tamalisi, Toma, Fanua, Kalpua, of course our family, and now we're starting to see some others. This one here is Tekausi. That's Toma and Fanua's boy. And Tekausi asked Jesus Christ to save him just this last year. It was a year ago? Year ago. Baptized that little guy in the water. No problem. We didn't even have to go very deep. I remember thinking, this is kind of nice because I won't get wet up to here. Because when you have somebody that's 350 or 400 pounds, you have to go deep or you can't lift them back up. So the water helps, and then you can be strong. But take Housie, we just went like ankle deep. I'm like, watch out for the rocks. Take him back up, and we had a nice time. But take Housie just got saved. And then we have a couple of very interesting people. This one right here is Harry's mother. And Kino. Kino's Tamalisi's sister. So Tamalisi's the energetic, going to school, kind of control some things, always watching out like that. And Kino was the sister under. So Kino grew up in a different island altogether. They ended up coming back to Funafuti Island, and that's when she brought Harry and all the other kids with her. And she came to church and said, oh, I've already been baptized, but I'm not doing that again. I've been to other churches. I'm not doing this again. I thought these things through. I'm not doing that again. Why would I do this, or why would I do that? And she thought we wanted her to get baptized to like be part of our religion, because that's what all the other religions do. I'm like, no. You get saved and I'm good. You do what God wants after that. And eventually, she just kept coming and coming and coming. I'm sure she couldn't understand everything we said, so we would preach, and then Kirsten would talk with her, and then she would sit down with Toma and Fanua and Tamalisi, and we're starting to get this group of people that make sure that the gospel doesn't get dropped. And she asked Jesus Christ to save her, and for someone that says she would never, ever get baptized, that's her baptism day. Amen. Hence the towel. And this is Harry. Well, of course, you know that tall, good-looking Harry guy back there. You can see that I went deep, but I really didn't have to. She doesn't weigh anything. It's like a super lightweight person. That's Harry's sister, Luisi, and Harry's little brother, Angatasi. Luisi had asked Jesus Christ to save her also. We baptized her when we went on an island picnic. And now we're starting to get cousins, aunties, uncles, friends. And then we had this. Now, Angatasi, as far as I know, he hasn't asked Jesus Christ to save him yet. But this guy right there, that's Harry's dad. Harry's dad. Like I said, I don't want to say anything bad about people, just to create some sensational story. But Harry's dad was in a pretty hard place for a long time. And one day he came to me and he said, I'm not nice. And I drink a lot. And I don't want to. I said, I'll tell you this. If you want me to help you, I will. And as soon as you don't want me to help you, I'll stop. But if you tell me right now that you want help and you want me to be with you, then the only time you can tell me you don't want my help is when you're sober. So thick and thin, good and bad, I am not going to let you go. So if you really want my help, you got to understand, if I latch onto this, I'm there. And you might not like it. He's like, that was his English. So I said, okay. So there were many times, many weeks, where I'd have to drive around the island on a Friday night to try to find where he went. And I'd have to go to this place and that place and search through the woods and check out the follies and go behind the houses and find where the group of people are. And you know how the heathen rage? They rage more when they're not sober. Especially, I mean, it's happy, jovial, shake my hand, sit down, we love you. But if you try to take one of their friends away, then it's you fight me. So there were several times where Tamalisi and all the other people around that part of the village would look in, and I would be fending off and running off at all of his friends because he asked me to, and for no other reason. So we prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. That's Fo'asanga. And now Luisi's saved, Kino's saved, Harry in the back is saved, and if you want his testimony, you can ask him. I don't want to put him on the spot. But finally, I mean, I'm telling you, I went to find him all over the place. Finally, one day, he just went by himself, bowed his head, and gave up running. And when he asked Jesus to save him, he's one of those people you hear about that you're like, wow. I mean, yeah, you're coming out of the world, there's still some debris to fall off, so to speak. But when he asked Jesus Christ to save him, his life changed. Amen. He stopped beating the kids. He stopped running the paycheck into the ground. He stopped leaving his family with no food. He stopped all that stuff. And his friends know now, and they'll come around and they still try to drag him away. And of course, there's ups and downs. But he's winning the battle because Jesus lives inside. Amen. So the gospel in Tuvalu is definitely making a difference, because now you've got an entire family group that's starting to know the Lord as their Savior. There's Kino, and we're standing in the lagoon, just in case you thought I made it up. As you can see, we didn't have to go that deep. And that's other people. I can name everybody by the back of their head. I like that. Next family. That's that family circle. The next family circle that I think is interesting. Maybe I'm talking too slow. This is Isala. Now, at the time that I met Isala, I'd already met his boy, Tuavai. And he is coming to the English classes. And Tito. And not really Galloway. Well, we knew Galloway a little. So Tuavai and Tito, his boys, we knew. And they were coming to English class, but they were also coming to church. They were listening in Sunday school, and you never saw a boy just, like, soaking everything up. And Isala, his dad, I hadn't even met him. I knew that he was the head of the Olympic committee organization stuff in Tuvalu, and I had brought in some ping pong tables into the country, sharing a container expense with him. But I only knew him by email, didn't really know him. And one day, his son Tuavai was no longer allowed to come to church, and I'm like, oh no, not again. That happens a lot. So it's just sitting, and I'm like, what do I do, what do I do? Because I know this about me, I cannot run off right when I find out about something, because it probably won't work good. So I had to wait and wait and wait. And I thought maybe I waited too long, because there's kind of a balance there. And one day I was just coming up to the house with some food or something, whatever reason I was coming back home. And it just hit me. I have got to go talk to Tuavai's dad. And I drove over there. Well, I talked to Kirsten. I drove over there, found Isala at home, sat down with him for probably 4 hours. And he said, I'm done with my local church. I've been going around trying to find out, you know, what the Bible says, but I go here and they say this, and then I find out that's wrong, and I try here and they say that, and I find out that's wrong. And so we just sat there talking. I made a deal with him. I said, come to church. As soon as I say something, teach something from the Bible that's not right, don't come back. But if I keep teaching things that are right and you can see it supported in the scripture, then keep going and you see if you can't find God that way. So he came to church and came to church and came to church and came to church and said, Isala, have you asked Jesus to save you? He said, I'm still making my decision. Isala, have you asked Jesus to save you? I'm still making my decision. Months, I mean, all this time goes by. I'll make my decision next week. I'll make my decision. And then one day, he just was tired of the fight, found a place by himself, and asked Jesus Christ to forgive him for all of his sin and to save him. That was a good day. Because 2 days before that, I had to stop him in the middle of the street from killing a man. Everything in his life was... And there he is cooking chicken for a church picnic. He's a good friend. He's one of the ones that I wanted to guide the church while we were gone. He's kind of like our brother Weaver. He certainly wasn't like that before. I would go by their house to pick up their kids, to take them to school and make sure they're going to school. And the amount of yelling and anger and frustration and throwing stuff down and quit attitude coming out of that house was scary. After he asked Jesus Christ to save him, his wife, Anna, thought she'd give it a try one more time. Not quit just yet. Part of the reason, I think, and I may be wrong, but my supposition in talking with her and knowing Esau before he was saved, if she didn't stick with the marriage, he'd take the kids and that'd be that. Because the man decides. There's no court. So she started coming to church, not really sure if she could trust her husband, not sure if she could really trust this Jesus, not sure if she could trust these Pelangi white people, not sure if she could trust this church. But she kept hearing the scripture and kept hearing the scripture and kept hearing the scripture and kept hearing the scripture. And she went and found a personal, quiet place where she could go on her face before God and ask him to save her. Yeah. And I knew it before she said it. Because when I would go by in the morning and Harry'd be in the trailer and all the other kids would be in the trailer, we'd pull up to get some of their kids for school, the yelling was not there. There was no more shouting all the way out the door. There was no more frustration. There was no more, where's the family? The family is like a core family. Of course, none of them trusted it yet because they're not too sure. You know, you get burned enough and it just takes a little while to get over that. But she asked Jesus Christ to save her, and then we went on a picnic and baptized her in the lagoon. And the day she got baptized, I think there was like 13 other people that got baptized. It was a lot of people. We usually wait till we get out onto the outer island, because from our islet we'll go on a boat ride to another islet, because the community, the state church community, isn't policing and watching, and they have the opportunity to obey God, put that picture of salvation in their heart so they never forget that day they asked Jesus Christ to save them. It's just a picture, but it does mean something. And they join the local church and they learn to grow, strengthen their resolve, protected by their brothers and sisters in Christ, and then they start to make things public. Anna is one of our best soul winners. She goes, if we have somebody coming into the church and listening and then they kind of disappear, she's the one who runs them down to find out what's going on with them. And she's extremely gentle. And she knows exactly what it takes to lead somebody to the Lord. A couple Bible verses, her testimony, and a whole lot of love. And she's really good at that. Sitting next to her, who is that, Kirsten? Is that Galloway? That's Galloway. Galloway, we were praying for just a few weeks ago because he had gotten, I don't know if it's dengue or typhoid fever, but I understand he's doing well. And so now we've got Fanua, Tamalisi, and then Richelli. Isala and Ana, the last two I showed you, their marriage started to be good, but they were making the decision to send Richelli away for school. And to show you how Isala had grown, he got to the point where he was listening to the Word of God. Faith is a reasoned decision, that what God says is true, and I don't have to understand it, but that's what I'm going to do. So we went to him and said, I went to him and I produced a little Bible study so that he could study and find God without me pressuring him, because I knew he would do that. And he went through all the Bible verses and came to the conclusion that it's the father's responsibility to protect and nurture and make sure those kids are taught properly in the things of the Lord as well as the things in this world. So he said, okay, she's staying here for school. 6 months later, she asked Jesus Christ to save her. I've got a litany of pictures. I can't get into all the rest of the stories. That's Te Laulini, separate family group. I met him when he was so staggering drunk, but he was just coherent enough to come stumbling around the building with red bloodshot eyes, and he told me, he said, find me when I'm sober. And I did, and he started coming to church, and you would never meet a more gentle person. That's an anniversary dinner that we had for our church. But he asked Jesus Christ to save him, found a quiet place at his home where everybody would leave him alone, laid down all of his sin, quit the fight, and asked for Christ to save him. And boy, did we know it. And then he got baptized, and that's his daughter-in-law, his son's wife. I believe she's saved. I've asked her, and she just kind of nods and smiles. But her spirit is so clean and so good. Just when she nodded and said yes, I'm like, yeah, that's all I need. She hasn't been baptized yet. No, she hasn't been baptized yet. And that's her son, Te Laulini Foliki. And now that family's happy. And that's Te Laulini's older daughter. She has not asked Christ to save her. But Aina, I know, has communicated exactly what she needs to do. And she keeps coming. We'll just stop there for pictures then. I don't know what to do with this. Slides everywhere. So now we come back to our Bible verses to close out. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And God is worthy of everything we can give Him. Amen. And He's equipped us to have the strength to meet the obstacles and the things in our life each day, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if you will lay down yourself and humble yourself and allow the love of God to go to the people around you and just get, however low they are, sit right down with them in their lowness and just let them know you're there to be a friend. You're not there to beat them on the head with a Bible. But if we'll do that, and if we'll start to really draw alongside of everybody we can in every facet of life, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of heart, it takes a lot of prayer, and you have to ask God for their souls. But when they ask Jesus Christ to save them, that brings God joy, which gives me strength to deal with the motorbike when it breaks down, or the roof when it leaks, or the troubles at home, or the obstacles in front of me. And I find strength in each day when God gets joy. And so missions, for me, is just really nailing down a personal walk with God. Don't take this as a Sunday book, but take it as a field manual. Literally consult it all the time, and don't consult it to be religious, and sure don't consult it to be righteous, because you're not ever going to get there. Just consult it to know how to please God and to bring Him joy. There have been a lot of people in Tuvalu that have been saved. And that group is growing and growing and growing and moving off and then witnessing to other people, sharing with other people. Those were just a few families of a whole lot of families that I could get into. And I want to, on behalf of them, thank you for sending the gospel there. I'm sure they know what it means to them. I think that's enough. You want to close in prayer?